There is no Easter Bunny, there is no Tooth Fairy, and there is no Queen of England. Welcome to the Sunday Movie Marathon. I'm Max.
I'm Chris.
I'm the Tooth Fairy.
And we have a very special guest. This is a talented artist, designer, poet, fashion icon, all-round wonderful person, Hannah Buckingham.
Hey.
We never get introductions like this.
Yeah. I thought I'd give it a go. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Ill.
Okay, that's not good.
It's like we already asked this, but it's that thing where for the podcast you have to ask it again.
I'm ill. The Queen died and made me ill.
I don't know about that, Max.
Who's to say? She's done all other manner of things. Who's to say what she can and can't do?
This is true. I feel like this is like a topic that I feel like we should just not discuss on here. Yeah. Like my shoulders are feeling weird. Like, you can't talk about the Queen.
We don't have to talk about it.
No, because someone will hear us and we'll get exiled.
I don't think
or
that's
arrested.
True.
Or arrested for hate crimes.
Yeah.
No one's getting hate arrested crimed.
Well, not
said
now.
That, I said that weirdly.
everyone just went silent like, yeah, okay, Max. Max really is ill. He's gone doolally.
People are getting pulled from crowds, I think. Like, calling Andrew a nonce.
Yeah, but he is a nonce. There's a difference.
People are getting arrested because they're calling Andrew a nonce, yeah.
Yeah, they're calling him a sick pervert and all that kind of stuff.
A sick old man.
Yeah. He is a sick old man.
How dare they say the truth.
Yeah. I know.
I think
maybe it's more like they don't want other people at, like, I was going to say these rallies.
You mean at,
to like beat up
at the morning crowd, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I do kind of understand that because a lot of the people that will be there will be people that want to pay respect to the Queen. And you know what? Fair enough. That's fine.
You
don't really want people there being like, oh, Prince Andrew, he's a fucking paedophile. And it's like, I mean, sure. But yeah, you don't really want that kind of thing going on, do you?
Yeah.
It's not really about him.
We don't really want paedophilia going on, though.
No, not at all. But I'm just trying to think of it from like a human level. Like, if you're there to mourn the Queen, I don't think it should be about anyone other than the Queen, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, who's to say?
Well, apparently people do, because why else are they getting arrested?
Who knows? I find it weird that like Liz Truss came in.
What, and just killed her instantly?
Did you see that picture of her shaking hands with the Queen?
Yeah.
It looks like they propped up her body.
No, I didn't see that.
She was already dead. She was like, it was like blackened eyes or something.
The thing is, I've been saying it as a joke for ages, but now I'm starting to genuinely believe maybe she was.
Liz Truss came in, she was like, there can only be one.
There can only be one Liz. that fucking woman. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So that's a lot of fun. I don't think we can... We need to talk too much about it.
No.
Everybody's had their fucking 1 cent and a half, you know?
Oh, yeah. I feel like it's a topic that's kind of been done to...
If you want to hear our thoughts on it all, listen to the episode that we did reviewing The Crown Season 1.
Do you know what? That is fair. I actually walked into the living room earlier and saw that your brother was watching the second season of The Crown.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, don't let me see the second season of The Crown. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, he was watching the first season when I walked through a couple of days ago. So
he's literally already on season 2. I think him and Olivia have been watching it like all day because I've just been sitting in my room like, I don't want to disturb them. So I've just been like sitting by myself.
Fantastic show, I will say. I think the next season's going to do numbers.
Oh, yeah,
coming
definitely.
Out like, later this year, I think.
What is it? 4? 5?
5.
5.
The 5th one. Where it all ends and the Avengers come in.
Oh, darn. Well, it was like that video that me and you saw the other day that was like, everyone was getting really excited about the new Avengers movies that were getting... they're like, how does phase 6 end or whatever phase 5? I don't fucking know what phase they're on. And it was like these two films, and even Mooney was talking about it for like ages about this film, and I went, oh, they already spoke about that. Like, it's just, I don't know why people are so excited about it. I just think it's embarrassing.
Anyway, I always want to ask like people who come onto the podcast this, Hannah, do you have a favourite movie? And if so, what is it? You don't have to.
Put it on the spot.
Yeah, it's pretty on the spot.
Favourite movie. I think everyone's like that though, don't worry. I think everyone kind of goes, shit, I've forgotten everything about myself ever.
I'm not very good at picking favourites.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe like a comfort movie would be The Lost Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very...
That's a good one.
Good comfort movie. I also really like Orlando.
Bloom?
No.
He is cool,
He is. A bit. Maybe. Undecided.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
The one based on Virginia Woolf's.
Oh, okay.
It also has Tilda Swinton in it.
Everything has that woman in it.
All she dominates. Point to
She's out there dominating the industry. She's in all the movies we're talking about today.
That's true. She's in all
but
three.
One.
Yeah. Oh, no. I thought she was all three of them.
Yeah, but we're also talking about a new one that came out pretty recently, right?
What are you talking about?
Well, me and Darcy are.
What was that?
Pinocchio.
You're saying with so much.
I think Darcy forgot.
Upset in your voice.
Well, it's
we heard about this, the new Pinocchio one that came out. Robert Zemeckis doing his bullshit again.
Yeah.
Like, the guy who did fucking Christmas Carol and Polar Express.
Right, that explains so
much. A few
much.
Good movies, yeah, but mostly not.
Back to the Future,
good.
Forrest Gump, Castaway.
Okay. Yeah. Oh my god, that man made Forrest Gump.
He's a crazy guy. Oh shit.
Whoa, the fucking broadcast of the century, Jesus.
But yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, what was that like? Did you guys watch it, like all of it? Or like,
okay,
not all
so
of it?
No. We watched like the first 40 minutes or so, and then we got to the point where Chris was like, I just need to see Stromboli or whatever the fuck his name is, and yeah, I'm done.
Stromboli. I was like,
I just need to see him.
I was like, I want to see what they do with him. I don't care about anything else.
And then I said, can we see the bit with the donkey? And then it got to, we were just skipping to like key points of the film, basically. And I was like, so we need to get to the bit where he becomes a real boy. And we'll get to that bit because it infuriated me a lot. Chris, what did you think of this film? I don't know what he thinks of this film, but I just want him to speak words.
Yeah, I mean, the original Pinocchio is probably one of like my favourite movies. Mm-hmm. Like, it's one of my favourite Disney movies. And just like all the live action remakes so far, it was pretty shit.
They do
expected nothing less.
You can tell it's made by a group of people who really do not care. There is no passion or effort put into anything in this movie.
They need
not
to leave it alone.
Tom Hanks.
Oh no. My god! It really, it really pains
Tom Hanks performance
me.
Right. Or no, class.
Right, me and Max have had this conversation before, right? Because I love Tom Hanks like as if he was a granddad that I never had, and Max is just like, God,
I hate him.
Yeah, fucking hates him. Right. Okay. So we always have this like point of contention whenever he comes up, right? But the thing is, I'm slowly starting to get more and more disappointed by how Tom Hanks is performing
non-stop
shit.
I think he's good when he's like in a good movie and he tries, but
he's
not
been phoning it in
like
for ages, just going to films and being like, I'm Tom Hanks. Here's my role. Give me $6 billion for it.
And it makes no sense because, like, Geppetto, he said, has been his, like, dream role. He's
you
always
would
wanted
not
to play Geppetto.
You
who's
like,
Geppetto?
Pinocchio's maker, you know, the old guy that's like, oh, you're my puppet boy, man. But do you know what? The bit that really... the thing is, I thought it was like, okay at first because they were, like, explaining, like... what Pinocchio means because I'm a dumb bitch and I never even thought about it before.
Yeah, they were going into Geppetto's backstory as well.
They were doing the whole solo thing where they're like, oh, you're a boy made of pine. Pinocchio. And it's like, oh, you're here alone. Han Solo. And it's like,
because he was made of pine. He's called Pinocchio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where does the Okio come from?
Okio's like, boy
it's
or
like
something.
Italian or something. I think it translates to pine boy or wooden boy or something.
Yeah,
like
it's supposed to be some sort of like hybrid word.
Not, that's not. Okio is not boy in Italian.
No, but it's not. I don't know. It's like some. They explained it in the movie, but me and Chris were just
close.
Like. We just weren't even with it at this point. We were
like,
fuck.
So I think the original Pinocchio is like 80 minutes or something. And it's like, I feel like it's the perfect length. It's kind of. Yeah, it's really tight. It's in and out. It never, like, lingers on anything. Whereas this is, like, they took that film. They were like, how can we add an extra hour onto this movie?
That's what they do that with all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think with Chris especially, he was like, Do you know what I feel with this film? What they looked at what was good and then just thought, how can we do this terribly?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't really. Like
the first 10 minutes of the original Pinocchio movie take up about half an hour of this movie.
It was a lot.
Yeah, it was a long time because they were like, it was almost like they were trying to get into this whole aspect of, oh, Pinocchio and Geppetto, they're like best mates, because they were like adding in scenes that like of just them like cleaning the house and random shit that was
never. Yeah, there was like a montage sequence of Geppetto and yeah. Pinocchio doing just normal household stuff.
Yeah, and like dancing around and all that kind of stupid shit. I mean, there was one part that I liked about the film that Chris hated, but I think Chris hates it because.
So you got like the bit in the original movie where you got all the clocks.
I like it.
And like
it.
They're making the music and it's like all these different like creative clocks. And this is literally just loads of Disney references. So you got like a Toy Story clock, a Snow White clock.
I liked it.
They've changed the music as well and it's really shit now. They've turned the movie into a proper musical as well.
Mm.
And Tom Hanks has some songs in it, which
nice.
Yeah, they're something all right.
Was he like? Yeah. He's not a singer though. Like,
no,
no, he was. He was basically like, it was like spoken word songs,
it's like
basically.
But occasionally there's like a melody there.
He's doing slam poetry.
It
sounds like they wrote a proper song with a melody, and they were like, "Here you go, Tom," and he was like, "Okay," and then he just like refused to do it. And every once in a while, they were like, there's a melody here, and he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, that.
Well, the thing is that everyone knows that he's not a singer, so if...
Why cast him in a musical?
Yeah, and why make it a musical if...
He's Tom Hanks.
But I just don't understand it. Like, either don't cast Tom Hanks or don't make it a musical. You can't really have both. Especially when you watch the film, you really understand why it just shouldn't be both.
Has he not been in other musicals?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No.
I feel like... Maybe I'm just imagining
he has. I mean, he probably sings in Toy Story, but does he really... Does he sing in Toy Story?
Really mean.
No, that's... He doesn't sing in those movies. I don't fucking know. Either way, he just shouldn't. He really shouldn't. It's not good. I don't know. I thought it was kind of... It was just kind of whatever, really. It was just kind of really...
No,
boring. Yeah, it was just whatever.
But they're like, all like shit, though, right?
This one was
exceptionally shit or something.
This is the problem, though. I think it kind of... I've been saying it for ages that they just need to stop doing these, leave the originals alone, let it be what it be. And like, even other people are like getting to the point where they're like, fucking hell, these need to like...
Yeah, I mean,
stopped.
Even Disney don't seem to really have any like hope in this movie because they just shat it on Disney Plus.
You say that, but they also shat Soul onto Disney Plus.
Yeah, but they don't like Pixar.
Yeah, but
of course they do. Wall-E is getting a Criterion Blu-ray.
Oh, that is true. He is getting a Criterion. Yeah, I love Wall-E.
Wall-E is so good.
But
that was creepy, though. I don't like that they're putting Wall-E on the Criterion.
I showed it to Max, and I was like,
"It was like an advert on Instagram. They're like, here's the first collaboration between Disney and fucking Criterion." Like, what do you mean the first?
Yeah, that's what me and Max were like, no, not more.
You're getting Kanto on the Criterion. Oh, brilliant.
I mean, I know they did it in the guise of like, it's Disney Plus Day, so we have to put this shitty remake of a film that you all loved in it. Was Pinocchio the first film? Oh, Snow White wasn't it?
Yeah, Pinocchio's the second movie. Yeah.
I thought they would have just made Snow White.
Oh, they did.
I feel like that would have made more sense for Disney Plus
Day. They'll probably do that again.
Oh, yeah, they'll definitely do a live action Snow White.
Oh,
I just want them to stop.
Christian Stewart was the Snow White one in like that Huntsman movie.
I don't think that was actually Disney, though.
No.
Here's our one, and it's great.
There's an Ariel coming.
Yeah, there is. There's a Little Mermaid.
This is revolutionary.
Little Mermaid. I made the mistake that all the public have been making. Yeah. Where they read the name wrong and read Halle Berry, because I did that and I went, that's not Halle Berry, but I can't remember.
Is it Bailey or something?
Yeah, it's literally like a couple letters different, but I read it wrong and I went, that's not her. And all these like comments are like, she's too old to be Ariel. And I'm like, if you go back and like read it again. Just read it again. I'm not going to judge.
I watched part of that trailer as well. I couldn't see anything.
Apparently it's like...
What is this? can't see anything.
Yeah, I've heard it's like really like... People are like, oh, it's been filmed on like a BlackBerry. Yeah. Like everyone's talking about how bad it looks.
They make all their movies, their live action remakes, like fucking just dark as sin. Like this one's, it's realistic, it's real. So, and you know, in life, you don't have colours or anything.
It's very dark.
Yeah. Deep in the Beast one's really
she's
bad.
She's like swimming
for that.
Up from like the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
And it was like a side by side comparison of that one and the animated movie.
Yeah.
There's so much like colour in that. But then, like, I guess they're like, she's at the bottom of the ocean. So, like, why would there be any colour there? Like,
yeah,
I mean, some creative license, like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess that is true because obviously in animation you can do whatever you want, but then this is also a film about a talking mermaid with talking fish, so just do whatever the fuck you want again,
Pinocchio,
right?
Pinocchio is, like, really inconsistent in terms of that. Like, you've got Pinocchio, like, the actual character, who's just, like, a 3D version of the original cartoon character. He looks basically the exact same.
Yeah.
Then you've got Jiminy Cricket, who's like this like hyper realistic little creature that looks like a Brussels sprout.
Yeah. I was like, he looks like a pea. And then Chris was like, no, look at that head structure. He's a Brussels sprout. And I was like, oh my God, he's a Brussels sprout. Yeah.
Jiminy Cricket is cool and cute in that animated one.
Oh, not in this
like,
one.
To just reduce him down to like a cricket. It's like, well, yeah. It was like, he used to be green, but now he's fucking brown or something.
He was green, at least, but he didn't look like Brussels sprout.
Green.
Yeah, like, he was, like, he still had that green aura, but he was just, like, it just wasn't the same.
He had the impression of being green, but without actually being green.
But it like, just had no, it just had, like, it had no personality to him.
Yeah, but, like, in the like voice performance, there's a lot of energy and, like, you can clearly, like, there's some passion in that, but that it doesn't come across in how he actually looks.
From Joseph, what's his name?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
He was a god.
Yeah, he's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those, isn't it, where you could tell that some people cared, some people just didn't want to be there. That's how I felt about the whole thing.
Those like Fox characters also looked the exact same as in the cartoon. One of them's played by Keegan-Michael Key.
Oh, yeah.
And he's really annoying, isn't it?
I think the Fox looked cool as fuck, personally. Yeah. What's his name? Mr. Honest Fox Man.
Honest John.
Honest John. Fox Man.
We watched we skipped through after Stromboli came in, who was like just as racist as he was in the original, which
I thought it was less so, to be honest. Like it wasn't mad stereotypical, but then you can't get away with that anymore.
Yeah, we skipped to the donkey sequence, which is really bad.
What is the donkey sequence? So I don't remember.
Oh, so in the original, it's like they drink this beer and they like slowly turn into donkeys and like, you know, like when they try
like
to speak, they start going,
smoking cigars.
Yeah, and then they turn into actual donkeys.
They actually like carry that over as well. They're actually drinking and smoking, which I was really surprised by.
And the weird thing for me is that like, it should like I feel like you should feel it in this movie as well, like because you're watching it with real people turning into donkeys, so to speak. But like, you don't feel it. But in the animated one, I'm like,
it's terrifying.
Like, I can't breathe afterwards because I'm like, oh my God, they turned into donkeys. This is like the worst fate ever. And then you see it in the live action, you're like, oh, that's. We were laughing actually. To be fair, I think I was like literally in tears. It was so funny.
The whale sequence was also pretty shit.
Oh, yeah, but that was expected, to be fair. Oh, it looked really bad because there was, like, imposed, like, CGI bits of, like, the boat getting, like, smaller because obviously the sea's meant to get bigger or whatever. But then you could just see, like, it's almost like you can just tell that they're, like, CGI-ing, like, the whole fucking thing.
I mean,
the way they're, like, standing and stuff.
Awful.
Oh, it was awful. But
no, it leads to the ending where Pinocchio doesn't become a real boy.
He doesn't become a real boy. The whole fucking crux of the end. I was like, because basically we turned it off and I said, no, Chris, I need to see him become a real boy. I want to see what that looks like. And he went, oh, I hope he's like, did you say you hope he was a CGI boy instead of a real boy? I can't remember.
It's like the cat's CGI. They didn't get a real cat.
What the fuck?
Yeah, the cat's CGI. Oh, yeah. And there was like scenes of like Tom Hanks holding Pinocchio, but his hands were here and the CGI was like in the middle.
Yeah, to make it look like he's holding something.
Oh, that's awful. That's like
so
fucking Cruella where they couldn't get like a real dog, so they just gave someone like a green lump.
It's
at least they did that. They didn't do that at all in Pinocchio.
Yeah, this one
is
just
like, hold
like
your
this.
Hands here. His hands are like shaking and stuff.
And you can see the gaps in between. It's really funny. Wow. But Yeah, so I was like, oh, you got to put it back so we can see him become a real boy. And then Chris is like flicking through it and you just see it become a storybook. And I was like, what? Is that the end? And he's going back.
Like,
we can't find it.
There's a bit on the beach where like they both have survived a whale and then they walk into a cave and the film turns into like a storybook and like goes the end.
Oh.
Yeah, horseshit.
That's a bit disappointing.
It really was. I wanted to see my CGI Pinocchio weird Polar Express hybrid boy. That's probably why they didn't do it. They were like, oh, this is going to freak out the children. We can't do this.
He can't turn into a real boy.
Maybe it was too much work.
Wasn't that like his ultimate goal, though?
Yeah.
The whole film was too much work.
Yeah. Did they carry that on then? Like, what? I want to be a real boy.
Yeah. Oh. So
you have the fairy who like says, you got to do this stuff to become a real boy.
Who sang the star song.
What?
When you wish upon a star.
Yeah, sorry, that one. And then she just like, what made me laugh was that the thing. Do you know what? It was a lovely rendition of the song. The woman's very good at singing. But like, there was a bit where she was like backing out of the window to turn back into like stars or fairy dust or whatever the fuck. And it just was like, and it was a bit like, it reminded me of that, you know, that four film that you guys watched where it's just like this like weird CGI head. It looked like that, but then exploded into like dust. It was so, so awful. But yeah, this film, I like the clock bit though. I actually did like that bit. I don't care what you say, Chris. I thought it was cute.
Certified great clock bit.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was the only positive I had for this whole movie. And I bet my mum would text me in a couple of days like, you seen that Pinocchio movie? And I'd be like, mum, it'll be like when we watched Elvis. Not good. So
yeah. I mean, Tom Hanks was there. Pulled off the performance of a lifetime. It's Geppetto.
It is actually quite heartbreaking. Like, it really is. Because I love Tom Hanks, but
he's slowly
killing my vibes. I'm going to give it 2 out of 10. I'm going to be nice.
I'm just hoping they're Guillermo del Toro one's good.
That will be good.
The stop motion one. I imagine that will be.
No, I still need to watch the one that apparently is worse than this one.
Oh, what, the other one?
Father, when can I go see the world?
The first of the three Pinocchio movies.
I really want to see that so badly.
Yeah, we'll watch that.
My God. I
heard tell there was like 3 Pinocchio movies coming out this year. Is that just that last one?
That was the first one that came out. Then you got
the one with the
Disney
creepy
one,
CGI.
And then the Del Toro
one,
like,
Googled
last
that one time. You're like, that was creepy. I want to Google that again. Pinocchio.
Yeah. It's
a true story.
A true story. It looks horrendous.
Oh, someone needs to play that voice clip of him where he's just the guy who like voice acts him is like so like dead in the soul. I love it. Have you seen that?
Yeah,
you
it looks awful.
No, I've definitely not seen that.
Who's the guy that plays him? What's that guy's name? That one at the front there.
Oh, Paulie Shaw.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, him. Yeah, his voice. Oh my God, he's so funny. I think it'd just be fun for me to watch because it'd be so bad.
Yeah, we'll check it out.
But that's my guilty pleasure. The only films I like are horror movies and films that are hilariously awful.
Like, so awful. Yes. You have to laugh at them.
Yeah, like The Room. Like, that was one of the first films that I was like, God, I fucking love cinema. But only
this
if it's terrible.
This is what we can have with the Polar Bear King.
Oh, yeah, or The Surfer
Man. The Prince
Man.
And the Surfer.
Yeah.
Surfer
Man.
These are all great movies. The Invisible Kid. Yeah. All classics. Anyway, enough of this bullshit. We watched some movies. They were picked by Hannah.
Yay.
Yes.
Sorry, magic. Woo!
As enthusiastic as ever.
Sorry, we'll bring the heat.
Yeah. What did you pick? Last of England, Edward II, and Glitterbug. You introduce them. What is this and what is everything about this?
They're all Derek Jarman films.
I haven't seen any Derek Jarman movies before.
No, me neither.
I just thought he was like a guy.
No, I've never heard of him, I'll be honest.
Like photos or something.
Well, apart from Chris's, telling of what Blue is, but then I forgot about it instantly. Mm-hmm. Remembered what he was talking about, but not who he was talking about. So I don't really know anything about this guy. Is he a director? He's not like an art guy or anything, is he?
It was like both.
Both, yeah.
Oh, okay. No, because it came across to me as like, Didn't I make a joke beforehand where I was like, oh, he seems like the kind of guy that you'd see at like the Tate Modern or something on like a loop? Like one of those art director guys.
One of those
guys. That's what
guys.
I was thinking of. Yeah.
I mean, he also hated the BFI, so.
Fuck yeah.
That is the funniest thing. Imagine dying and then being like, we got the BFI collection. Yeah.
Poor guy. I know we'd get you eventually, Derek.
Oh, wow. That's probably
fucking tossing in his grave.
Yeah, poor guy.
Do you want to explain what the first movie is about and when it came out?
Do you want me to...
It was 87.
Well, what we do is I letterboxed everything, so I can get it up for you if you want.
I feel like they're hard to explain movies. Yeah,
don't letterbox it for Hannah. I want her to like describe what this movie is about.
No, but then we can say what year it's from if you want.
Yeah, what year is it from?
Do you want to talk about Last of England first, or which one
was the first?
1987.
There's, what is that sound?
I feel like it's the neighbour doing some horrible
stuff. He's probably drilling or something.
Yeah. DIY. Yeah.
What's the movie about then?
What is the movie about? That's a good question.
Know?
We read the book, didn't we?
Yeah.
What did the book say?
It's kind of like, I guess it was like protests and...
Yeah, it was a lot of protests. Yeah, it was like, it's a weird fucking movie, right?
Yeah, so like...
It's just like a bunch of like stuff. I don't know. It's very...
It's kind of like...
Abstract and
montage-y.
So, I read that it was like it was about London.
Yeah,
in like the 90s or in the 80s and 90s. Well, not the 90s because this came out in the 80s. It was more about like Thatcher's England and all that.
There was also, in the narration, there's like reading of poems, and I've forgotten who wrote the poems.
I thought it was just him.
No, that's actually what I thought. Some of them are poems written by...
Yeah, I don't...
Because the first one has The Last of England in the poem, I think, where the title came from.
T.S. Eliot and Allen Ginsberg.
T.S. Eliot. Yeah, because, in this book, I don't think it really said anything about these, like... poems, but it was like this, it was like the most like graphic description ever, like, so what's this film about? And I was like reading it going, soldiers, brutal sex, HIV.
But his sex wasn't that brutal.
No, and it was pretty tame, to be fair. Yeah, because it was like one of the first lines was something like, London is in a state of disarray, brutal sex by soldiers with HIV and all this kind of shit. And I was like, whoa.
So the soldiers were... also, like, shooting up as well.
Oh, yeah, like, loads of, like, heroin-looking shots.
There was lots of... is it, like, soldiering where you have, like, the fireworks coming off of the sparks?
Yeah, well...
There was lots of...
I guess.
Imagery of, like, that.
Oh, like the...
Interspersed.
The
metalwork, kind of.
Metalwork stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I always think of, like, that Bring Me the Horizon video where they've got the fucking...
The flares.
Yeah, the flares. That's what I think of.
Sapatan or one, is that?
The Shadow Moses. But, yeah, that one, yeah.
That great one.
Yeah. But that's what I was thinking. I was thinking of that kind of thing because I didn't know what it was called. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that kind of stuff.
And also kind of, like, changes from... There's lots of, like, red...
Yeah, it's very
for ages,
red
it's like really red, and then it also like goes really blue for ages, and then it kind of goes like purple as well in bits.
Yeah,
so the like colors kind of merge.
Why?
It's quite huey, isn't
it? I guess the colors like emotion.
Yeah,
it's like a bit of like orange in this, aren't they? Like, very.
I mean, if we're going off of like
Thatcher's
England and all that, I guess like. Rage and then despair and then fucking just both of them. It was like some talk about like the Falklands War and all that. And I got a lot of like anti-monarcho sentiment from the movie as well.
Yeah, there was a lot of comments about the Windsors. About
yeah. What was that line that I knew Max noted it down or something because he was like, the fucking Windsors.
Yeah,
and then instantly like just laughed.
Something like that. It was like, it was a lot of criticism against like that establishment and also the government as well. Which is like, it was like a horrible time, you know? Like all the shit that was happening in Falklands and Ireland sort of at the time, just like fucked up. You got like the troubles and then all that going on with the war. But it was just like, I might have brought it up before, I didn't, there was like a celebration the other month on the anniversary of the Falklands War. They were like, we did it. We fucking did it.
Yes, what do you mean?
We won. Remember that great time when we won the Falklands War? And I mean, it was interesting to watch this movie like now, like straight after the Queen has died.
It was an interesting time.
So much about it, but it was like, it is quite serendipitous in that way.
Because I picked it before the Queen died as well.
Oh yeah, are you the only one that's seen it?
Have you seen it before?
No, I haven't actually seen it.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, it was a very coincidental moment.
Did you do it?
I think I need to rewatch it a few times to be able to like really talk properly on it. Yeah, because it's one of those.
Yeah, I think there was like just loads of it where I don't know about you guys, because obviously we're all sitting in this one room and I'm like the closest to the TV, but like the film was like setting me off to the point where I was basically like tranced. I like wasn't even like thinking about shit. I was just watching it and going, "Ooh, the textures look nice." And that was like it. I wasn't even thinking.
Yeah. I think maybe it was The Garden. It's kind of like that as well. You kind of get like really drawn into kind of like, and then the editing where it like cuts between things really quickly. And then it kind of like is repetitive.
Yeah, I thought we'd get like an editing credit for Derek Jarman himself. It was like, this is so much like the editor's movie, in a way. Because like without that, it's like the editing is so fucking core to like how it wants you to feel about what it's trying to tell you. And then to have somebody else like be credited with the editing, I was like, oh, that was weird. But I don't know.
They work closely together, I think.
Maybe they oversaw some of it. Maybe I don't know.
You would have to, right?
I mean, it was. I don't really know what to think about like films like this, because I'm always like, it's supposed to be like thought provoking, but I feel like I wasn't really thinking throughout the whole thing, because I was just watching all this stuff happen. I was like, oh.
Yeah, there was a point where like usually I'll take notes when I'm watching a movie for the podcast, but then like it was like that whole like, if you want to call it a third act, it was just like, what the fuck is happening?
I think everyone just stopped talking, didn't they?
Is that when everyone got shot?
I don't know.
I think it was just after that, wasn't it?
It was like just after, and like Tilda Swinton's in a wedding dress and she's fucking going crazy, trying to cut her dress off.
That was amazing.
Yeah,
that was like top performance from Tilda Swinton.
Everyone just stopped talking, was just like staring at the TV. Yeah. Like, that's kind of cool though.
In
like,
this place where like, there was like a fire going, like a bonfire. And then like, it was like dancing in the water or whatever, and there was like water nearby.
Yeah, it was
like,
quite,
this looks so good.
It was quite, it was quite
a
hypnotic.
Good looking movie.
Yeah.
So she has these big kind of sheer scissors and it's like cutting into this wedding dress that she's wearing.
Oh yeah, and I made that joke about Spencer because someone was like pulling something. Was it in this film?
It was Pearls,
yeah. And then I thought about that the scissor thing, but I'm not going to get too into it if everyone in here wants to watch Spencer.
Just watch Spencer about Anna and then you'll know what it is.
I'm like, watch Spencer and come back to me and I'll make the comments again.
I remember one of those soldiers was like talking to a woman. She was like, how was the Falklands? And he was like, that's splendid, man. Splendid, man.
Oh,
She was like, the next one's going to be big, is it? He's like, I hope so, man. Like,
yeah, that was so weird.
That got me annoyed. It was like, I see what you're doing there, but that was really good, I thought, in terms of that. But it was like, that's something that pissed me off. Like, oh fuck,
I liked all the bits with the fire.
What comes next? It's just like, it's a bunch of bullshit that comes after that.
Such a weird thing to say. I was like, oh, I like the fire.
Let's go straight into the cool next fire. War. Yes,
huh?
Cool fire,
cool imagery.
Well, I think what it was because of like, I don't know what it was, a Super 8 film or something.
I think they're all Super 8.
I was just kind of I just could not stop looking at the texture of the movie, and I never ever think about that kind of thing, but I'm literally sitting like an inch away from the screen, like, oh, I can see all the dots and like, you know, like the little bits that make
the
up the film. It was like really cool. And I was like, oh, this is nice. And then there was that song that was going on and it was like put on some folk music and it was a Fleet Foxes song, you know, that one about the fucking boats. I don't know.
Fucking great music in this movie.
Just went on for ages.
Yeah, the music's always good.
It was like a bunch of like pan flute in there as well.
That's what I mean. Just put on
the harp. The harp was great.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the harps. Yeah, there was like a lot of things that like, I don't know, components wise
it took me
out as well.
Like a race ahead or something, or like a David Lynch movie. It was like, what the fuck? It was just like imagery they wanted to show you. Like I likened it to a race ahead because it looked quite industrial and all.
Trying to
communicate with like, this is like Luton or something, because Darcy used to live in Luton, where she's from,
my hometown,
the
baby.
Luton Massive. I was like, is this what it was like living in Luton?
the thing is, though, there was like, you know, those, they did those like long shots of like, I guess where they're moving and it's like, you just see like streets and streets of houses that are like barricaded off. And I was like, no, that's what Luton looks like. I mean, there are actually like loads of places that it looks a lot like that, but obviously like none of them are barricaded because Luton's not exactly a run down area. It's actually quite thriving because it's near London. So like it's becoming way more popular now, but all of it does look like that. It's all like, to put it politely, it's all like council looking houses and like all looks the same, all in rows. Like Luton literally just looks like that. Done it. Let's be honest. It does. There are certain areas that look nicer, but it does look a lot like that.
Yeah, Luton's where it's at.
That's what Bronson said. I was like, I was going to say Tom Hardy, and I was like, well, he did say it,
like,
but...
Like The Wall, sort of. Pink Floyd's The Wall.
It's very, like, dystopian
to
me.
It does rely a lot on, like, the music and, like, parts. There's, like, people reading poetry or, like, just, like, monologuing. But then, like, that kind of stops at about the halfway point or maybe a bit before then. But you don't even realise because it's, like... It's entrancing you.
Yeah.
And then, like, when somebody else speaks again, you're like, fuck, nobody's spoken for ages.
Mm. Yeah, I was kind of feeling that, like, up until they had, like, some really funky music playing. And it's like, when it stops, you're like, oh, shit.
Snaps you out of it.
Yeah. Like, this is what this film was doing a lot, was, like, pulling me in and then going, okay, there you go, back to the room. And I'm like, oh, shit.
That was that, like, whole last part for me where Tilda Swinton was doing her crazy dance.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in front of the fire and, like, whoa, what the fuck? And then like, it ends, and I was like, oh, okay. And then a credit for someone called Gay Gainer came up, and I was like,
he lost
oh,
it.
My God.
Max was actually like,
couldn't take it.
See, the thing is, I didn't find it as funny because in the book, she's literally like the second name on the list, and I was like, Gay Gainer.
But I only found it funny because it was such a shock to like be in such a trance like state and then have it end and then that happens. Here's a bunch of credits. Gay Gainer, they did this.
The thing like, is, I swear we've crazy. Seen like loads of films recently where like there'll be like this mad build up to the end and then it'll just cut to black and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, what was
also,
that one?
Sorry. Wasn't the credits like completely silent for this?
Oh, yeah. So with the introduction credits, and we were sitting there like, hee, this is so awkward. It's so silent.
What's crazy is that film, Only Barber.
Yeah.
Where it's literally like, there wasn't even any credits. No. There was like this really crazy shit suddenly started happening and the film just cut the black and that was it.
I swear to God, we've seen so many films like that recently where like, I felt like I should have known it was just going to like stop. And I was like, I should have just known.
Eraserhead has an ending like that.
Does it?
It does, yeah. It's through this like elevator music that happens at the end of that. Some of the most horrific shit you've ever seen in your life happens and then it's like elevator music. Oh, okay.
Do you know what? That does seem very like Lynchian. Yeah. You know, he's like, oh, how can we make this a bit lighter? Ah, elevator music, that'll do it.
A bit more absurd.
Do we like the gay love scene on top of the Union Jack bed?
I love that.
Yeah, that was great.
Yes.
It was awesome. It was so good.
I might throw it out there and say that was my favourite bit, to be honest.
Yeah.
Why not, man? Why not? I was like, well, I don't know. It just seemed very
your cup
apt.
Of tea.
Oh, no, we haven't even got to my fucking cup of tea yet. Not yet. But
that guy who was like just wandering around these fucking weird like underpasses with a massive hat on. It's just like a pointy hat with a fucking flare going around. Like,
oh, yeah.
What's this guy's deal?
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, it's a dunce cap, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit, I was thinking of the KKK. And I was like, no, it's not hooded.
Yeah, also, that guy is like near a like bin on fire, just eating a cauliflower.
Oh,
my God,
the cauliflower.
Naked. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
How did I forget about that?
There's so much detail in the film that you kind of, it's hard. And because the narrative isn't linear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's so much detail, you kind of like, it's really easy to kind of forget.
Yeah,
is there a narrative like at all, really?
I think they're supposed to be. Like, obviously it starts off that kind of way and then it just kind of descends into this is London.
It's like a commentary.
Yeah, here's a man naked eating a cauliflower right next
viciously.
To his Willy.
Yeah.
I felt like it was like a very angry movie.
It is an angry movie.
You can tell that it's made by someone who's just like really frustrated.
He was pissed off. He was like, fuck the monarchy, fuck Thatcher, fuck London, fuck not being straight. If that came out right, I don't think it did. Fuck the flag, fuck all this. And I was just like, this man is my fucking hero. Although I think my favorite line of this film was the bit where he was like, the ice is radioactive, Johnny. What does that mean? What does it mean? In fact, I think I already know what it means because I've just heard it out loud.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
That's a Shikari lyric through and through. The ice is radioactive.
Just like how you had the line from Ruby by Kaiser Chiefs, where it's like,
tomorrow is cancelled
due to lack of interest.
It's so true. That line always sticks out of my head as well. Like always.
Thanks, Derek, inspiring some of the best songs ever written.
Yeah.
I mean, that song is fucking garbage, to be honest.
What do you mean?
But hey, it was a good line, I'm not going to lie. But I kind of like how, I know we're not talking about the last movie yet, but there was like a nod to that line in the last movie. I don't know if anyone saw it, but we'll get there. But yeah, no, this, I don't even know. This was just a lot.
It is a lot, yeah. It's one of those you just have to like watch it and you get out of it and you're like, I guess I'll have to go to sleep or something. But instead of that, we watched two more movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We watched two movies and then me and Darcy went out clubbing.
Yeah. So what the fuck are you doing?
I would love to go out clubbing straight after watching The Last of England. Straight after. Do you know what would be great?
Into the, streets of Portsmouth.
Yeah, it had that grubby vibe to it, I must say. Like the capitalist vibe. Oh, sorry, we're only taking cash on the door. Ew. And then when Chris gets to the cash machine, they're only taking out 20s.
Oh my God.
Literally, it's like get capitalist vibes out here all the time.
Well, they needed the 10s. They had the best pictures of the Queen on there and they had to line her coffin with them.
Did they actually do that?
Wouldn't put it past them.
Oh, man.
I love them when Tilda Swinton was like running around fucking doing a scissor dance. And there was like a piece of music. I was like, what the fuck is it? What is happening? It was just like a woman doing something insanely weird with her voice. I always love like just weird shit people do with the vocal cords. It was like a kind of droning, but it was like a goat.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Everyone was just sitting silently and I just had to check my phone so I could stop laughing because I was like, this is so funny.
I was
like,
great. No,
check your phone, stop it. Because I was like, I need to be mature about this. I need to stop laughing at the weird goat sounding lady, but it's also really fucking funny.
Was it kind of like operatic or?
It was all...
It was
quite operatic, I suppose.
Yeah.
It was quite a high tenor, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's just like
it was
a
very...
lot of fucking vibrato.
Yeah, there was like a lot of frying and stuff. Like,
a lot of like throat work, I think.
Yeah, it was
in there.
There was also like a kind of like club scene-y type bit where there was that person dancing.
Yeah.
And they weren't in the rest of the film either.
No, you know.
It was very like, kind of.
It was that
gay club
yeah, like
scene,
disco
but like
shit,
one
yeah.
person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was really good.
That was funky as fuck. I like that. Yeah. I was like, hell yeah.
There's a lot of funky stuff in here.
Yeah. I enjoyed the funky stuff. I was confused by
the angry stuff.
I was angry by the angry stuff. Yeah. I was just confused by the whole film.
I
like,
all that. You could tell, like, you don't have to do something that's like literally, you don't have to make fucking Free Guy to be like, here's what I think about games or whatever. Like,
yeah.
You just know. You just look at it and you're like, well, what was he thinking? Like, it would take a moron to fucking be like, I wonder what this guy was mad about. It's insane. It's like,
it's so on the nose, isn't it?
He did it. You know, he's such an artiste. You know, he knows what he wants to communicate and it doesn't like take, he doesn't need a narrative.
I think.
He doesn't need a bunch of writing with it. There's not much like dialogue or whatever. It's just like what he wants to put in there and like show from what he feels about the current situations he's living in.
It also kind of like, I feel like the way the editing and the kind of non-narrative is confusing is a good thing because then you don't come away with like very specific thoughts. You come away with like a feeling or feelings.
yeah.
rather than kind of it's something intellectual.
It's probably a good thing to be confused by the movie. It was probably a confusing time that he was living in, especially with like all the shit going on in London at the time and like, and Ireland and all that, and a lot of contention going on about the war and the Falklands.
AIDS.
And AIDS. You know. Yeah, you can't forget about the AIDS.
Yeah, like, it feels almost like that was like kind of the point. If you have like a loose structure or something, you're kind of like, well, this whole place is a little bit loose and a little bit bit confusing as well. So if you're lost, that's because I am as well.
I think the film was made like shortly after he was diagnosed as HIV positive
as well.
That
is true. That the book did say that, actually. That is true.
Yeah,
can confirm. I guess that's quite a time to be living in it. It's like, oh, I'm possibly dying and the world's
shit. Lots of his friends are dying.
Oh, yeah, because isn't this kind of like the, I don't want to say like the era of Rent, but let's be honest, it's the era of Rent, right? Like that time where a lot of like, it was the epidemic, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
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 But I only say that because
Rent
is the closest
really
thing
like
I think
a cure
of.
Or anything.
You just got HIV and then died pretty much. Yeah. But then obviously you don't die of HIV.
And you were blamed. You were blamed for it as well.
Yeah pretty much. Yeah, because you got it because you were a scuzzy bastard. That's basically what the mindset was, wasn't it? To be honest.
Oh, you're gay. It's your fault.
Because we all watched It's a Sin. We all know, apart from I'm the only one that's watched it, I think. Have you seen it?
I haven't watched it yet because I know it's sad.
Yeah, that's
it's
why
on my
I've
list.
Not watched it.
Watch it because I got bored.
Really?
I got like two episodes in. I'm bored.
I've been reading Modern Nature, which is Derek Drummond's book that he wrote kind of like about when he like moved to Dungeness. Because obviously he moved there after he had got diagnosed with HIV. And he kind of like built a garden there. And a lot of it's like about gardening, but a lot of it's like about his everyday kind of life.
Huh.
And like his friends. And there's like a long poem that's really good as well.
I feel like, it's such a weird and like tragic thing when you think about like, I don't know how old he was when he died or how long he had HIV before he died. Because a lot of people back then, they died within like a year or something. But It's really sad to think about, like, obviously there's like so many modern cures for things, and obviously you can't really cure it, but you can live a long and normal sort of life now.
Haven't they cured a couple of people now? People have cured now.
Yeah, basically like zero transmissible, basically not detectable, isn't it? Essentially.
About
52. 52?
Yeah, he was young.
It's fairly young, which is because basically what I was trying to get at was I don't know whether he would still been alive now had he not had it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh yeah, would it?
He only died like 30 years ago, so
it's one of those things where I'm like thinking, oh, if he had it a bit later, maybe he would have been alive. But now I'm like, oh, I don't actually know, because I don't know how long ago it's been since modern medicine's been able to do what it does, if that makes sense. But it's just such a weird thing to think about, because like the life expectancy of someone who gets like HIV in those days was just like nothing. You just died. Well, you didn't just die,
you got really ill.
Really quick, because that's basically all that AIDS is, isn't it? It's just like your autoimmune system is just completely fucked. It's crashed. You get like a cold and you get cancer afterwards or something stupid. It's honestly madness.
I think it just shuts down like all of your organs.
Yeah, it's just fucked. It's completely fucked. Like, it's horrible.
Horrible stuff.
So
like,
I don't really
stigmatize and be like, well, you got it because you slept with a man and you were a man. It's like, oh.
See, but this is it's
what a way to like not do anything about it and brush it under the rug.
Also, loads of straight people got it.
Exactly.
And lesbians got it as well.
Yeah, like people, because like it doesn't even have to be from like being gay either. Like you had what was it in Dallas Buyers Club as well?
Yeah,
people getting it from like shooting up heroin, dirty needles, that kind of stuff. Like people are born with it as well. Like in certain countries, if a mother has it and then passes it on or whatever. So like they're dirty as well because they're born with it. Like it's such a weird thing to think about that people just automatically assume that it was like this disgusting thing. I know. That time is just such a weird fucking thing. Because it wasn't even that long ago.
Yeah, I feel like you see that a lot with movies that are trying to portray like England in the 80s or 90s. Mm. It's never a good time, is it?
No.
No, it always seems like, I understand that like Britain's a little bit scuzzy around the edges anyway, but yeah, whenever you get a movie from that sort of period, it is always the dregs of like society for some reason. Yeah.
It's hard to watch this movie now and not, you know, think of like some of the parallels that we're kind of seeing at the moment. No, England's like right, in a really nose, bad babes. Shit place at the moment, and it's like,
yeah,
I definitely felt like watching this movie, I like put a lot of that into the experience I was getting.
Yeah, like, I think it's kind of creepy as well that I think me and Chris were talking about Liz Truss. Is it Truss? Is that her name?
Yeah.
And Chris said someone said she was basically going to be the next Thatcher, and I was like, oh fuck, because if that's true,
did you see that?
Got another one of them, innit?
That she dressed up as Thatcher.
What?
For one of her interviews.
Nice.
Oh my god.
I think it was like the same outfit. It was like this kind of, is it like a pussy bow, like neckline white shirt?
Oh, with like a little bow thing.
And there was like a picture of them like side by side.
She freaks me out. And like, it's the only reason it freaks me out is because if it does ring any sort of resemblance, we are definitely in a world of pain. Yeah. Like, we already know.
People are already comparing her to Thatcher. And like, a lot of people are just saying that because she's a woman. Like,
no.
Oh, she's going to be the next Thatcher. But then, like, what, she actually dresses up as Thatcher, and then, like, I hear all the shit she's saying, and it's like, oh, okay. Mate, okay.
Yeah, like, I was joking personally, because I think I was getting less Thatcher, more Theresa May vibes, because she just seems like a boring person. But then I would have Theresa May back any day of the week at this stage. Like, we tossed her out because we thought she was bad, but we didn't know the fucking half of bad until until after she went, if I'm totally honest.
It's measuring shit against more shit.
Yeah, it's like being shot or stabbed. Which one would you rather have? Drink poison or gouge out your own eyes? That's how. But then again, I feel like no matter who you put in the chair, someone's going to hate it and everything's going to be shit, if I'm totally honest. And I don't want to say that because I hate the Tories, but then, will anyone do any better?
But that's the thing. When they cycle through these prime ministers, people think it's going to be different and better. It's like, they're still Tories at the end of the day. They all think the same things. They're all in the same fucking hive mind.
It's the mindset, isn't it?
They're all their bougie fucking nightclubs or whatever. Yeah. Drinking whiskey and smoking cigars.
And getting their lunches on taxpayers' money.
Getting fucking Tesco meal deals on taxpayers' money.
That's exactly.
It's not Tesco meal deals.
Yeah, no, they're getting
it's like caviar.
Yeah, they're getting those like
fucking Marks and Spencer's meal deals.
Like those fucking, they're like they sound like really posh like canteen meals, but like they cost like £12, and they're like, and your tax dollars pay for theirs.
I can't remember who it was, but there was one Tory MP recently where they found out that he was like charging all of his electricity bills for his stables for his horses as an expense,
like
for
tax
work.
Deductible.
Yeah. He was putting them all for his expenses.
Sounds about right.
That was really recent.
I mean, truth be told, I could actually do this myself, but I am not the spawn of the fucking devil, so I haven't done it yet. But if my energy bill gets to like £6,000 a year, maybe I will.
It was for his horses' stables.
It's a, what?
So when
how are they related to work?
Gets at that kind of rate, then you can do it.
Yeah, maybe I will. I'll be like, oh, this is definitely for business purposes. What'd you do? I don't ride horses, but I could.
Can we rate this movie?
Yeah, sure. But
what are we going to rate it out of?
We always do it out of something.
Gay gainers. Yeah, this was a really interesting movie. It reminded me a lot of San Salil that we talked about not that long ago.
San Salil, yeah.
Yeah, just
yeah,
like, because it doesn't really have like a strong narrative. It's just like a kind of a collection of sequences that are like strung together in like a really artistic way. It definitely gets across this really angsty, aggressive feeling. You could definitely tell that it was made by someone who was very confused, angry, and frustrated with where you know, the world was at that time, and it gets it across really well. I enjoyed it a lot. I'd probably watch it again, actually. I give it like 7 gay gainers out of 10.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, I liked it. I kind of drew a parallel with Saint Soleil as well. Although I think that movie is more like Through the Looking Glass type of movie, whereas this one, it's like, here's what I think about stuff and what's going on. I guess if I had any like criticisms to level against it, I don't know, like some of the acting or whatever, it's like you clearly just got a bunch of people onto a roof and like made them walk around, and it really came off that way at points. But that's kind of it. I don't know. I do like the movie a lot. I think it's very interesting and very emulative of like the time Jarman was living in, and especially like the place and how people thought. I'm sure a lot of people felt this exact same way. It is a very angry movie, and I think a lot of people were very angry and confused at that time. I'll probably give it the same. Yeah, 7 gay gainers out of 10. I liked it a lot.
Should I go?
Go on.
I'm just confused. I think I've said everything that I kind of need to say. So I guess I'm going to give it a 6.5 gay gainers out of 10. Yeah, I'm using the 0.5 fucking decimal system.
Nice. You want to give it a rating, Hannah?
I think it was beautiful, so I'm going to give it 9 gay gainers.
Nice. And also love gay gainers. Love you, gay gainer, whoever you are.
They're out there. What was the next one that we did,
so,
Hannah?
The next one was Edward II, and it's a retelling of Christopher Marlowe's play about Edward II.
Yeah.
King, I guess he was a king?
King Edward.
Yeah. He was married, but he had a love affair with a man who he made lord of stuff, I guess.
He was an earl, I think.
Earl.
Made Earl Ward. Earl?
Yeah. I think so.
Earl Ward or something. We don't really care about the...
No, the title of him is unimportant.
We know his name, though. Gaveston.
Gaveston.
Yeah.
That guy. Take a shot every time you hear the name Gaveston.
Gaveston lot.
Here's Gaveston.
Movie.
Maybe it's not even his name. Maybe it's just where he's...
Well, it was Piers of Gaveston. So, yeah, I don't know if Gaveston's a place or like, you know,
but
how
it's kind of like his title.
Earl of Sandwich. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that his title? Is that like, I don't know, but this was a movie.
I love this movie.
It's so good.
It's a lot, it's very different to The Last of England because it's,
it's got,
I guess,
plot.
A lot more humour as well.
Yeah, it's very funny.
Is less angry, but I guess that's because it's more about, it's based on like a play.
Yeah, it feels more like a hybrid of
still angry
stuff. It felt very like almost like a mix mash of like,
it's so camp.
Yeah, it was like the campiest, fruitiest. Oh, I fucking loved it. I loved it. It was like, it's one of those like, Max is like, it's a cup of tea. And I'm like, this was my fucking cup of tea. I could have sat there and could have watched it for hours, me. But do you know what it reminded me of a little bit? And I think you guys might kill me for saying this. And when I say I'm specifically talking about this one here. But it kind of reminded me of, you know, the similarities between like a Romeo and Juliet, you know, the one by Baz Luhrmann. where you have like the modern mixtures in with like the period dramas and stuff. And it was quite engaging in that kind of way. But then maybe I just enjoyed it because it was just full of gay. I don't know. But there was something about this film that got me. I stayed with it and I was riding the whole time.
Yeah, I hate Baz Luhrmann. And like he does that a lot where he mixes like modern, like old stuff with like modern. And I always find it really obnoxious in his movies, but I think it's done really, really well in this.
I think it's quite charming.
It's quite subtle as well, isn't it? Like it's not in your face like Baz Luhrmann would be like. Yeah, his is like, this is my thing. This is modern stuff. And it's like over the top. Whereas this was just
Cardi
like
Cardi B in a film about Elvis.
But he also
where she belongs
in like 3/4 of Watch the Throne in The Great Gatsby. But
so Derek Jarman also kind of does this with other films like Caravaggio and which one? Wittgenstein, where it has kind of like elements that are not from that time period.
I appreciate it. The film. Well, yeah. So it feels relatable. Well, not relatable because it's not, but it kind of feels, you can like draw to it, can't you? You could be like, oh, I feel like it's something that you could pick apart as well. You could be like, oh, you don't normally see a, I don't even know what I was even talking about. There was something in it and I went, that wouldn't have been in it. Oh no, that was something that Chris brought up because I was like, oh, why is this thing in here? And he was like, did you not see the robot earlier? And I was like, oh, there was a robot in this. Like, it's done so like subtly almost that you don't really like pick up on it. Whereas like, yeah in like Baz Luhrmann films, it's like, oh, yep, that is something that is glaringly not meant to be there, but it feels like in this film, it didn't feel forced in, but in his films, it kind of does a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
How can it be like forced in when it's like what even is it? Like it's like fucked. Like what's it, where are they? This place is like insane.
Oh yeah.
They've it's got like this weird, I don't even know, I couldn't find it out. But it was like just a bunch of like walls everywhere.
Kind of like what would you call it?
Bunch of walls?
No. Are you talking about the underground bit with like the water or the other
just
bit?
Everywhere.
Oh, well, the sets.
Yeah, everything did look like just like a set that you'd find at like a fair or something. But then I thought maybe because
it's like kind of like rock. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what you mean. Like what
these fucking
where it
like bare rock walls and like
kind of like
going
castle
to one room.
Like,
yeah,
I've got castle
if there was like nothing
vibe,
in it,
but
and
then
they didn't build any like foundations or whatever. It was just like there's a lot of dirt in it. They just like walked around in the dirt, and there was like nothing on the walls, and there was nothing in the rooms. There was like one room that was just like a bed. And that was it.
Oh,
and,
that
like,
was
two guys were fucking on it. And like that's all that was in that room.
And there was the room that just had the throne.
Oh, yeah. Just the throne. Yeah. And then the depression pool in the other one.
Yeah, but with all that,
that man
like,
in his ferret. That was underground, though, wasn't
it? Yeah, that was kind of like a slightly different vibe. It was like, kind of like a dungeon-y room that was very wet and dingy.
I just kind of got that like... Yeah, almost like play theatre kind of vibe from it where it was like, this has to be minimal because if you were watching this, like I could imagine like if they had filmed that on like a set or something and then there's, you know, like people just watching it underneath, like in their chairs. That's the vibe I got from it that was like, oh, I could have performed that.
The dialogue is kind of play-like as well, where the way they speak is kind of like they really project their voice. But I like that. I think it's interesting.
Yeah, I felt like, because it was, well, it was adapted from a play, it felt like it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, okay, this is definitely a play.
Yeah.
I
their
feel
voices
it
do
to
carry
play.
Like a play, because it is all set up kind of like that. Yeah. So like the acoustics of the, wherever the fuck they are.
Yeah,
like,
the four
are there
walls.
Roofs? Like, probably not, because they sometimes have like spotlights going down there as well. It's probably had something set up like a rig or something.
Sometimes there's Annie Lennox singing in the corner.
Sometimes Annie Lennox.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sometimes she'll just stare at you from the other side
with
of the
set. With her beautiful eyelashes.
Oh, my gosh, she does, doesn't she? Like, what a strange scene for her to appear in
Come on, Annie. Come and stare around a corner at me sometime. Just stare with your big eyelashes. Why not? She was crazy. what the fuck?
Also,
why is this happening?
Going back to like the time period, it means that the costumes can be really interesting.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
Tilda Swinton always just wears the most absolutely incredible outfits.
Yeah, she goes off.
There's lots of outfit changes.
Yeah, like there was that one.
Every
like,
fucking scene she's in is like, here's a new one. New earrings, new dress or whatever.
Yeah, I kind of like that vibe.
The sharpest eyeliner.
Oh my God, just... I was like, how do you do that? That's a vibe and I need it in my life. But like, I love all the, especially the outfit, like, I think it's like near the end where it's just like, just bright colours, just like patches of like purple, oranges and shit. And then obviously that ugly one where she looked like a broccoli.
I think it said that the costumes were donated by, who was it? What designers?
Oh, Hermes was one of them.
Hermes,
or whatever you want to call it. That was one of them. I can't remember the others.
That was like more expensive than
Hamnet. I can't remember their first name.
Yeah. I think this was like
was
the most expensive
fucking
movie that he ever did.
Well, no, they were donated, so.
Yeah, they would have just,
He had quite small budgets for his movies, usually.
This
to
was
be
the
fair,
most expensive.
Was it?
It was
what was it?
Have a guess.
Seven. You said seven.
No, I didn't.
You did.
I guess I don't know how much a movie makes takes to
this
make.
I feel like are we talking, when was this? Must have been after 87, so
91.
I'm gonna go with 70,000.
It was 750,000.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Still a fairly small amount.
It's tiny for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
It is quite minimalist in like what it's going for, though, because it is like all these bare walls, and it's just like what's in it is just like the people and the costumes, and the spotlights.
Yeah, the only reason I went so low is because
Cage or whatever.
Yeah, I just felt like there was not a lot there for it to be warranted that amount of money, if that makes sense. But then I guess obviously there's a lot more to a film than just like what you
crew.
Yeah, it's like crew and
the film, the Super 8 film costs a lot.
Yeah, and like maybe Annie Lennox probably costs a lot to rent.
She was
probably
half of
the budget. Yeah,
she was
£500,000
to get her in there. Yeah. But memorable scene.
Yeah, sure. Well, because they're like dancing because he's been exiled, and she starts singing that cover of
Exiled, and then so
Gaveston.
The love affair, Gaveston, was
Gaveston.
Nobody liked that the king was gay, so they made him exile his boyfriend.
Yeah.
But then he brought him back, and they were like kissing, and then Annie Lennox was singing.
Oh yeah, because they were
and then he got exiled again.
Yeah, because they were like, well, if we bring him back, we can just kill him off. And everyone was like, yeah, let's just kill the guy off. And then they pussied out and didn't do it until
well
later in. And then you don't even get to see it, and you just see what's the other guy's name again? Edward.
you just see
Edward the second. Yeah, and Mortimer having it out with each other, being like, what the fuck did you do?
Army suit, whatever.
Yeah, Mortimer's kind of like modelled on a soldier.
I thought you were gonna say.
He was kind of like a modern day like army general or something.
With
something
a tash.
Like yeah.
I think they were trying to go for something like that. I mean, he was kind of a dick, I guess. But I liked all of that, and it doesn't come off as like pretentious or anything like a Baz Luhrmann movie could do, but I think they use everything they have like very effectively. So like maybe 750,000. Maybe you don't know where it all goes in a movie like this, but like, it's a really high production movie. You could tell everybody's really fucking into it as well.
They definitely are
pulling off some like really crazy performances, and all like the dancing they're doing. It's like, what the fuck?
Gaveston's performance was pretty good.
He was great.
Yeah,
he was
so flamboyant.
Good. His fucking like little gremlin goblin pose on the throne. He's like,
oh, what? Where he sounds like he's brushing his teeth, and I kept going, who the fuck is making that brushing the teeth noise?
Just him crouched on the throne.
Because he's like, yeah, he's like crunching his teeth together or whatever. That was fucking horrible.
Making his strange little noises.
Yeah.
The gums.
This little gremlin man. Oh, I thought you were talking about the little gremlin screams he was doing when he got exiled, and he's just like,
fucking screaming into the
void. Yeah, it was like watching some like cheesy video.
Yeah. Oh, man. Like that, we've all been
there.
Yeah,
he was cool. He was great. I liked him.
I don't think we mentioned, but Tilda Swinton was the queen. The king's wife, just for some context.
Yeah, it's a good thing that was actually brought up, to be fair, because I remember when Gaveston goes up to her and starts like whispering, and I was like,
pretends to kiss her.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, what did she ever do to him? And they were like, oh, they're married. And I was like, oh, she's cucked him. Oh, no.
Gaveston was a bit of a dick, though, right?
Oh, 100%. He was nuts. Well, he was literally insane.
I preferred him to Mortimer.
Yeah. But it was Mortimer,
wasn't
it?
They were all kind of fucking freaks, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, everyone was like unhinged in like the most like,
but all
insane
kings
way.
Are unhinged.
Yeah, all
maybe
of them.
Even you, Charles.
Yeah. I think it's quite hard to describe this movie without like, watching
he'll
it.
He'll be all right.
It was just crazy.
I do like that shot where like Tilda Swinton and was it Mortimer are in that cage. They look like they're covered in cocaine, and the kid's just on the fucking top of the cage like
he had like Tilda Swinton's earrings in. He's wearing this really smart suit,
yeah,
and his hair was like slicked.
Yeah,
did he have
He had lipstick
a
on.
A walkie-talkie. So.
I think he did. He have headphones he kind
of,
in? I think
he
did.
He was like standing on top of the cage, and he'd like trap them in it.
Oh yeah, and he's wearing these like diamante slippers.
Yeah,
yeah, they were sick.
Dancing.
I appreciated that. He was dressed a bit like Annie Lennox. Was she the one in Eurythmics?
Yeah. Like Annie Lennox.
Yeah, like in that video. And I say in that video, you guys know the one I'm talking about. The one which has her hair slipped back and wears a suit, which is probably all of them. But that one in particular I was thinking of. Which is a shame that she wasn't dancing on top of the cage with him, because I thought that would have been a great, great little ending.
She was embodied. She didn't need to be dancing.
That is true. He was channeling major vibes. I think what I liked about this film quite a lot, but it was like just a lot of commentary about like just being gay and that outrage group that he starts where they're like, being gay is not a crime, and I'm like, fuck yeah. These guys who are randomly in this room.
Yeah, they're a real group.
Yeah, they have like
they're
real members.
Yeah, they're a real activist group from...
I stand corrected. No, that's actually really fucking cool, to be fair. That just made it even cooler. I was like, oh, shit, I thought they were just made up for this film.
No, they got like 90 of those guys.
Yeah.
That's where the budget went. I'm joking.
Maybe, yeah. Got to pay your extras, right?
Went on the fucking, probably all the catering. There are so many people.
So
in
many
this
people,
movie.
Yeah. It depends how long it takes to film, yeah. All of this food is buff-faced.
Like with Super 8, you probably can't do that many takes.
Maybe not, yeah.
Is that what they did? What was that film? The Ark? No, what was that film?
Russian Ark.
Did they? Because I know they only had like one take to do it. Is that the same sort of thing? I don't know if it was on that kind of thing.
No, I think it was shot on film. I think it was all digital.
Oh, they ran out of battery though, didn't they? So they could only do it once. Right, yeah.
And they only had like the museum for a few hours.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense now.
That was a crazy movie.
Yeah, it kind of gave me that vibe though of the whole...
We've got limited resources and all that. And you poured so much fucking money into it.
Oh my God. But it's just pretty. It's so pretty.
It's a really good looking movie. Yeah. Mm. It will like stick with you. I think all these movies are like, I didn't know what I was going to think about them. I'd done no research whatsoever. I'm like, these are going to be something that either I'm going to like really enjoy or like really hate.
Yeah.
But it managed to actually do something for me. You know?
Yeah.
They're all really good. All of these are good. Spoilers for fucking the next one, but like, yeah, they're all good. Mm. I enjoyed them a lot, and it goes to show like he's kind of a master. I think I don't know how many movies he directed. I have a feeling it's quite a few,
and music videos as well.
Yeah. He does a lot of like. There's a lot of like music in these movies. Just like this guy's like he's probably a music video director or something. Like,
yeah, you kind of do get that vibe,
like a music
don't
video
you?
Or something. Yeah.
It's always hard to...
Edward is like in his depression pool. He's like, he's fucking flapping around in the
directing
depression pool.
High School Musical 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like that. Those were some of the best scenes, I think. Because that setting, it's like crazy.
Mm.
Just what the fuck was that? It was like this... It's just a pool. In the middle of this like industrial like
square
engine room, this like square
with
pool.
A ladder going into it and water. It was deep.
It's reflection.
Where he just stands in to be sad.
Yeah, it's his reflection area. Yeah. He's got to be depressed in his reflection pool.
To
reflect
on all that has gone wrong, all that my subjects have done to me.
Mm. It was that I really hated that bit where Gaviscon's getting exiled and all like the priests and stuff like spitting on him.
Oh yeah.
That's fucking horrific. I kind of just hate what it means, if that makes sense, because it's like they're not like, you wouldn't just spit on anybody, but they're like, oh, we're exiling him because he's gay, so we got to spit on him because he's scum. I don't know, I didn't like it. I was just like, oh god, poor guy. It was sad. I feel like I mean, I don't know anything about this. What's his name? Jarman? What's his name?
Derek Jarman.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about him, but I feel like he probably had quite a lot of prejudice in his life because of, being, I guess he was gay. I can only assume. But do you know what I mean? I think there's like a lot of self-reflection in there as well, I guess, that he's trying to express about like people like and their attitudes towards like certain ideologies and stuff.
Mm. This is why you make a movie based on something that already exists, not because you feel like you can do it. It's just like, this is probably something that he read or like saw and was like, this is like me and I can do something with this.
Yeah, like you could fit. I felt like he was trying to express his like, yeah, his own experiences within it, which I think, you know, if you are going to do something that already exists, do it better, do it to your own.
Yeah, well, maybe not better. I don't know.
Oh yeah, you know what I mean. Like, just build up on your own interpretations of it, I think, because
it does still feel like the play it's based on. I don't
think I've seen the play it's based on. It's like,
I don't know. I haven't seen the play.
But it feels like a play.
Like, I don't know anything about this play.
I think it's based on.
I'm just gonna look it up. I don't know if he's like gay in the play or
into the king, and Day was like, there was no confirmation about whether he was gay or whether they were close friends or. What? It's just like kind of what
there never is,
though,
right?
No.
Yeah.
They're just good friends.
To be fair, the guy sounds...
That's always the way, isn't it? Like, this king had a pretty good relationship with his right-hand man. Like they were all right.
What they say about Emily Dickinson's love letters.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, she was just really good friends
with
her
friend. Those guys, they had a good friendship. Just gals being gals. You're looking something up, do you?
I was just looking up the actual play. And there's just like a quote that's like homosexual affection. But yeah, it doesn't actually kind of like confirm anything. Yeah, it just seems like, you know, when they're like, oh, you guys are really close. Sus. You know, that kind of thing. That's kind of what I'm getting from this. But
there were so many great quotes in the film, but I don't remember them because there was too much to remember.
I was going to say, how great can the quotes be?
It's a lot of
dialogue. No, but like, they were just like, you were like, oh, that's a band name or...
Oh, yeah. Cup of Hymen was my favourite one.
Cup of Hymen,
and we all went, what did he just say?
They said Rend a lot as well.
Rend,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, and Based.
Based.
Based, yeah.
Based was the one that everyone got chatting about.
Based.
Because they were saying like base peasants.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What they mean is like the lowest of the low.
Whereas you can be in society.
And I was saying like base means something more than means
I'm gonna
something
look
else.
It, up now.
It means like a good thing. To be based is good, I think. In terms of like slang language that we're using nowadays. It's interesting how the language has kind of evolved over the years.
Is it based or base?
It was based in the film.
They say base, but I said based.
Oh, because apparently it is based, is the slang term.
Or something that is
for
pretty nice.
For agreeing with something.
Yeah.
Or recognise something in themselves. Like... I'll be honest, every time I think of the word based, I think of like, it's going to sound really bad, but like I watch a lot of like YouTube channels that like go into like Reddits and stuff. And there's a lot of like incel forums that use the word based all the time.
Yeah.
For like, you know,
really
stupid logic.
That was a really based opinion, fellow incel.
Pretty much, yeah. It'll be like, you're based because you think capitalism is something or something like that. And I'm like, oh, okay. But yeah, it's quite, it's just quite weird how like, language has become this thing where like anything is anything now. Like I feel like I'm getting old as well. Cause, back in the day when I was working in, those, print storage units or whatever, and the 14-year-old niece of my boss would come in and say something, and I'd be like, what did you say? And then I had to explain the new slang terms that are going around at school, and I'm like, what the fuck did you just say? These are not words. Like, leng was one.
Yeah.
Lame?
Leng. Like peng, but leng.
That's been around for a while now.
Leng is apparently like
that's
the
been
elite.
Been around for a while.
Peng is good. Leng is the one you want to be. Oh, and I'm like, I don't fucking know anymore. But yeah, there was loads of words like that. And I was like, sorry, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. And I'm scared of language because I'm getting old and I'm not hip.
Yeah, I mean, with a lot of these adaptations, you could think like, what the fuck are they saying? Like we watched that movie, that Shakespeare one.
Oh, the tragedy of Macbeth.
Half of that movie, I didn't know what the fuck they were talking about because it's like all Shakespeare language. All the actors want to do Shakespeare.
Ye old.
He was like the OG guy, and everybody wants to do Shakespeare. So, because he like invented language or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, you watch that and you're like, what the fuck are these geezers saying though?
It didn't help that a lot of the actors were mumbling as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. And we didn't have subtitles because we watched it in the cinema.
But isn't this like...
But with this, I found it very easy to comprehend. And
because
like,
they project their voice.
Yeah, they all... Yeah. Well, it's that, and it's also like the language they're using is not like a bunch of bullshit that Shakespeare made up.
Yeah, but like, it also has stuff like fuck him in it. And
and isn't it kind of...
Rend.
Yeah, if
my
you...
My new favourite word.
If you kind of feel the context or something, you can sort of guess what things are normally. Like, I think Max heard a word and went, oh, I think it means this, and then looked it up and it was exactly what it was. But I can't remember if that was yesterday or not. I don't remember that. Either way, so was, there was a word that was said and you were like, oh, what's it? That word probably means this. And then I was like, yeah, it means that. But it might not have been you. But either way, that's the kind of thing that language and context does. You can just sort of guess.
Sepulture. Mm. Sepulchre. Yeah, that was what... I was like, I'm pretty sure that's like a stick. It sounds like a stick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then it was like, it's a stick, pretty much. Like a scepter or something,
small,
isn't it?
It's a small room or monument.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't the same. It was like a like
it was different.
Yeah, it was completely different, actually.
It wasn't really important word.
Yeah.
Oh. I was thinking of like a mausoleum. Is that mausoleum is basically the same thing, isn't it?
But a crypt? A
bit bigger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe a crypt, actually.
Bigger than one stone for one person. It's like a stone for a lot of people. Like a house, but for dead people.
Oh, yeah, because, yeah, a mausoleum is like a stone shed, essentially.
Yeah, where they keep corpses.
Yeah. Oh, such a weird thought, isn't it? Because, like, you can go visit crypts and stuff, can't you? Like, I've been to one before and they're fucking weird. Like, you're literally in, like, this basement of just, like, bones.
Take a podcast trip there.
Mate, we should.
Do a fucking
we should.
Episode in a mausoleum.
I don't really know how that would work, but...
No.
Oh, well,
hey, never say never,
here.
Chris. It could be done. We could...
You'll never want to take us out into the open. We could be out there. In the mausoleums.
We could do one. We could do one at the locker store.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Anything else to say on Edward II?
No.
No, I just had so much fun.
It was a great film.
It was so great.
It was a great film.
I knew it was going to be great. I read the little book and I was like, I'm going to fucking love that one. And then just put it down and pretended that I didn't read it.
Nice.
It makes me really want to watch The Tempest now because he also... directed The Tempest.
Yeah, I
want to
watch that.
Oh, God.
I want to watch that.
It's
going to
be so good.
I saw a rendition of The Tempest not that long ago.
Yeah,
and
it's Derek
so boring.
It'll
I
be camp.
Don't know. If it... I mean, if it's...
If he does it,
if it's
I'm
very,
sure
it's if it's very gay,
right.
I'm probably going to watch it. But if it's not, then I don't care.
It's not often you get a director who's like, you've never seen any of their movies before, and then you see like three in a row, and they're all good.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Speaking of being all good, what's... What are we going to rate this one out of?
Gaveston.
Gaveston. Cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed this movie a lot. This is probably my favourite of the three. Yeah, I don't know if there's really much else to add to it. I think we've talked pretty in depth. I'd give it 8 Gavestons out of 10.
Yeah, everyone's doing some solid fucking work. Acting their balls off. Yeah, it's all great. It looks great. All that stuff. Probably watch it again, maybe at some point. It's not like a... I don't know if it's like a date movie or anything. But yeah, I would love to like own some of these at least, but like, I don't know. I feel like it's just impossible to get unless you get like a Blu-ray box set like Hannah has.
Which I bought. It was like £90.
I bought it when it was on the... I think it was on the BFI website.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like a normal price. And now it's
annoying.
Like £90 on eBay.
Yeah. Fucking annoying.
But the worst bit is the other box set which came before this one, which has the films like The Tempest and that's like £160 on eBay.
Oh, yeah, of course it is.
I know he's got a few films on BFI Player, so I'll have to check some of them out on there. Mm-hmm.
BFI always does this shit.
This is why Derek Jarman hates the BFI.
Yeah, he hates it. Yeah, I get it.
Because they're an institution.
Yeah. But it's in the name.
I know. But they're awful.
Fuck the BFI. Anyway, 8 Gavestons out of 10.
So sorry. juggling a million plates over here. I think I've said everything that I've basically needed to say about it. I had a rootin' tootin' great time, and this was definitely my favourite of the three. It was one that I didn't really want to end. I'm going to give it 9 Gavaskins out of 10.
You keep getting his name wrong.
I'm getting it wrong on purpose.
Okay.
I hate him and his name.
Wow. Okay. Anna?
10 Gavaskins out of 10.
Yeah, fucking cool.
Nice.
The next one. What did we watch the next one? What was that one called?
The last one was Glitterbug. I think that's how you say it.
Great Wombats album.
It's a kind of like a collage of loads of outtakes of like Super 8 films. So some of it's from all of Derek Drum's like different films, and then there's also like
bits of like Friends. Not Friends, the TV show, but Derek John was Friends.
No, David Schwimmer is not in this.
Neither's Matthew Perry.
Thank God. Oh, yeah.
I thought we saw Matthew Perry in
Last of England.
Like, is that Matthew Perry like stood on that pole or something?
So it's kind of like all kind of mishmashed together. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the soundtrack is done by Brian Eno. So the soundtrack is great.
Yeah.
But I think I've read that... Derek Drummond was pretty ill by this point, so that's why there was a co-director, because he wasn't able to kind of fully kind of realise the whole thing by himself, because he's quite unwell.
Yeah, 1994 this came out. And when did he die? I feel like it was the 90s.
I think it was 94.
I think it was
pretty soon. Yeah, pretty soon.
Making movies until he fucking died. Yeah, it was 94, February 94.
Oh, wow. Wait, so damn. When was this?
I feel like maybe this came out after he died.
Yeah, 94.
Oh, damn.
He was diagnosed in 86 as HIV positive.
Oh, that's actually quite a long time to...
Yeah.
To live, to be fair. Fair, yeah. I mean...
It's interesting to watch the movie like with that knowledge then.
It really is, actually.
Because it is
quite weird.
I don't know. I just had like a really good time with it. It was like a music video for Brian Eno, I suppose.
It was very atmospheric.
All these like pictures going on as well, which could be like really dumb and pretentious, and something you could just put in an art gallery and walk past. But I actually had a decent time with it, and you know, I think it's all there to serve a purpose. I think the editing is very good, and it doesn't waste time really. It's very short.
Like 44 minutes.
44 minutes, yeah. It's tight, you know. I kind of didn't want it to end either. I was just having a good time.
It's quite a comforting watch,
yeah,
I guess, because it's kind of like nice footage.
Nice footage. Really nice music as well. It's like very trance-like.
I think it is the music that does it, though, isn't it? Yeah, you're just sitting there like, oh, this is
and the Super 8.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it just felt like you were in like one of those like hazy kind of dreams or whatever, and you're just like watching it in real life. It was very strange. There was like loads of like fucking images of was it Bob Dylan and Chris kept going, "Oh yeah, Bob Dylan." I was like, "Shut up."
I don't remember Bob Dylan.
Yeah. Bob Dylan?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, okay. I was like, "Have I gone crazy?"
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like no dialogue as well. So
it was literally just like a 44-minute long music video, really, wasn't it? It was the kind of thing that I could imagine just like going to the Tate and just seeing that in a room on loop. But maybe not for that long, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like an extended version of such.
I guess, I don't know. I like movies like that, though. It was like, I think Tom York did one. It was like Anima. That was kind of like
in a way. Paul Thomas Anderson.
That was only like 10 minutes though, or something like that.
Yeah, it was on Netflix.
I've not seen it.
I don't
think so.
I like that. This was like, yeah, I don't know, because it's like, I really like the movie, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, what though? Like, what is that? Like, what's happening?
Oh, what, with this one?
Yeah.
I feel like I
need to like watch it again. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know what the purpose of it really was, and I did read the.
I think it's just a collection of
collection.
His stuff.
I just kind of...
It's more of like an art piece.
Yeah, it's a kind of movie.
Like I said, I don't think it really
has like a narrative or is really even trying to say anything. It's just kind of like, here's a bunch of my stuff I've not released before.
But yeah, like it was definitely cool to look at. I just...
Is a video of me chasing Tilda Swinton around a bush.
Yeah. I didn't really take much out of it, if I'm totally honest, but I think...
I don't think you were supposed to.
No, I just felt like there was... We were just having our own sort of...
conversation.
Yeah, vibing at the same time. But I think it was mostly the music that was just like keeping it afloat. We were just like, oh, this is nice. Though. Yeah, definitely. Why else would... Yeah.
Like, I either want you to be high as fuck on my... weed or something.
100%. I missed out on such a golden thing.
With a bunch of people just like talking about random shit, which we were doing.
Pretty much, yeah.
But I like that experience with it.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of like in my own sort of like circle of people from back home. We used to do the house parties, get really drunk, and then like listen to Pink Floyd and like eat pizza and just be on that like coming down sort of stage. And that's kind of what this reminded me of, was just like you'd have something like nice and pretty in the background while you're just chatting like, oh, so like, do you think there's like cheese on the moon and all that kind of stupid shit that you talk about when you're like just doing whatever. I don't know, it gave me that kind of like, we're just hanging out vibes.
That's quite fun. Nice. You should invite us round. It's one of your Luton massive parties.
We don't really do them anymore, to be fair.
Oh, no.
Damn. Well, at the time, eh?
It definitely was. That was quite a while ago. I'm talking like, I don't know, like 5 years ago, maybe. But it just kind of reminds me of that kind of thing. Like, you know, things like, yeah, just like you'd watch it at like 4 o'clock in the morning and you'd just be like, you're just dead, but you're like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
No, like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What are you doing over there?
I tried looking up stuff about this movie, but obviously there's nothing out there because, like, what is it? It's just a collection of stuff.
Yeah.
But it is one of those movies where it's just a bunch of images, and then, like, you get out of it, and then, like, maybe in, like, a year's time, you're like, what the fuck was that thing from where, like, there was a woman running around, like, in, like a city or something, and, like, all these, like, brick walls and stuff, and it's very much like the kind of movie that like pushes like images into your brain.
Yeah,
and you can only like you like sit up one night and you're like, oh fuck, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things that you don't process it for a while, then you're like, wait a minute, what was that fucking thing about?
It'll like stay with you. I think it was kind of like, it did remind me kind of like Saint Soleil in that way. It was like, here's a bunch of like images and stuff, and like in that movie, it's like a lot about what's being said and what's being shown. And this, it's more about what you're hearing through the music. I think the music was... I say it has no narrative. And we say that...
The music is the narrative. It has no real
function in terms of a narrative, other than, like, here's a bunch of stuff that Derek Jarman did. But the music does... It's always going, and it does have kind of a... It's got, like, a theme to it, I don't know. And like, it does tell a story in that... sort of way where like you listen to a piece of like the real like great classical composers used to do, where they would just like tell a story through music alone.
But isn't that just Brian Eno all over? He's like, this is a concept, I'm not going to tell you anything about it. Mm-hmm. Here's a title of something, just listen to it. I think it's almost like inviting you to have your own this is your own viewing party of said thing.
Why Glitterbug, then, do you think?
Why this film?
Why is it called Glitterbug?
Glitterbug.
I don't know.
The Wombats, one day, they're going to come out with a fucking killer album, and it's going to be this.
Oh, me.
What if they named it after this?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. It says here it was posthumously assembled by friends.
Ah.
So it was...
Oh, right.
Yeah, maybe
it's like,
after.
He didn't even...
Yeah, well, I think it was a plan, and it...
Yeah.
He just wasn't able to realise it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess so.
It also had William Burroughs in it, and I thought it did, but I wasn't quite sure.
I don't know who that is.
Not even
who
I.
William Burroughs.
It's like, how William do you not know who this is?
Was he a guy? Was he the fucking
writer
of Naked Lunch?
Yes.
Yeah. Fucking, I know that guy.
Naked Lunch.
I know that guy. Yeah.
That guy's just making shit up now.
That's nice though. It's like other people assembled it for him. It was almost like
it's having love letter, like, then, isn't it? Yeah. I like that.
There's the bits where I think Tilda Swinton's like with her parents as well, and it kind of like shows that like Derek and Tilda had like quite a strong like friendship.
Because she's in all of these films, isn't she? Yeah.
They must have been kind of like natural.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I liked all the stuff with her. It was more towards the end though. But when it just like goes like that and like you're just kind of tranced by it, and then suddenly Tilda Swinton shows up, you're like, oh, what the fuck?
I still didn't know who baby that was though. You know, like the little toddler. Who was that? I have no idea.
I don't know. Brian? Brian Eno? Maybe. There are Brian Eno's like, Brian, kid. I watched you grow up for the entire time. Now you're going to make the movie, this one, Glitterbug, and you're going to do the music for it. Oh, all right, okay. Guess we'll try. He was still a baby. Brian, I got something important to tell you. Like back in when he was a child.
I feel like Max is just like, this is what I mean. He's just invited himself to make up his own story.
But that's what we were like doing though. Right?
I do kind of appreciate that. We were literally just chatting like, oh, what's this shit that's happening? And every now and again,
my friend
Chris
doesn't want to get married.
Whoa. Oh god. Oh no.
No comment.
We got anything else to add to this one?
No, not really. I mean, it is what it is, you know. This could be like a 5-minute conversation. Like, yeah, it's just like pictures.
It's just
Brian Eno music.
Mm.
But, you know, yeah, it is that kind of movie where like you just mong out or you watch it with some friends and talk a bunch of shit. But I had a good time with it, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess we'll cap off the conversation. What do we want to rate this one out of?
Brian Eno's.
Brian Eno's. Okay.
Yeah, what a dude.
Yeah, it was a really interesting movie, I think. Visually, obviously, really, really great. I'm not sure if I'd watch it again. I feel like I got everything I'd get out of it from a first viewing, but glad I watched it. I give it 6 Brian Eno's out of 10.
Yeah, I feel sort of the same way. I would only watch it if I was like, it's smashed out of my mind on like some sort of drug. I don't know. But yeah, I had a good time with it. It's an interesting one to like, if this was his last movie, then that's an interesting one to go out on, I think. Yeah, I'll give it 6 Brian Eno's out of 10.
Yeah, 6 Brian Eno's out of 10.
It was actually my second time watching it.
Oh.
This one.
Anything change for you?
I think I remember more this time.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. There's like a lot going on in terms of like the imagery.
But I find it quite a comforting watch. So maybe I'd give it like a 7 Eno's.
Nice.
I got that sense too.
Yeah. I definitely want to check out Blue.
Yeah, I need to watch Blue. Really I still haven't watched it yet.
Nah, not yet.
I think it might be a bit more intense.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be quite heavy.
Quite heavy.
Yeah, I was like, because it's on the same...
Yeah, I've got
DVD.
It on,
so yeah, in the book, it's like
Blue was near the end of his life as well. I think.
Yeah, you read it, and you're like, oh fucking hell.
Cool. That's another one for the books. Derek, thank you for all that.
Yeah.
We got another one to do next week. It's called Episode 95. What do you know? Comes straight after 94. We're doing a show, season 1 of The Expanse. We're going to watch that. I haven't started it yet, but I'm excited to check that out. I know you guys have started it.
Yeah, we've watched one episode.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, no spoilers. Right.
Don't worry, I don't think we can give them to you.
Watch season 1 of The Expanse. Go do that. We are social media. YouTube, the Sunday Movie Marathon. Woo! Instagram @SundayMoviePod.
Woo!
Twitter at Sunday Movie Pod. Facebook is at Sunday Movie Marathon. Letterboxd is at Sunday MM, capital S, capital FM. Remember to like, subscribe, and rate the podcast 5 stars on all that bullshit. Don't do it. Go tell your mothers, go tell your fathers, and tell your small babies. Thank you, Hannah, for being on this episode.
Thank you for having me.
That's all right.
Anytime. And let me choose the movies.
Yeah, of course. We'll come back and choose some more strange movies that we haven't seen. Because this was a really fucking wild one, I think. It was a really good one. Thank you for listening. Any last words?
Woo! Gaveston.
Gaveston.
What a guy.
We will avenge you. Don't worry.
We will avenge you?
Yes.
What are you talking about?
Chris Pine! Nah, it'd never work.